This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. Betcha it's not as hot where you are, Barry. I am in Hoi An.
You look hot. I'm pleased I'm not there. Well, Ross has arrived.
43 degrees, people. And last night, Barry, we were in the pool till like 11 o'clock. The pool's not cold. When you first get in it, it's like walking into a spa bath. And then you sort of cool down from it. Yeah.
Okay. I tell you what, you wouldn't want to be getting into a pool over here, that's for sure.
So we have played 8 sessions of bridge so far. My partner and I, William Van Bakel from Cairns, are coming second with an average of 56. And in first place is, I'm not too sure where they're from. I think is a pair from Sydney, and their scores are 58%. So we're not too far behind.
We want to name names. There's going to be a lot of Australians listening to that. They'll want to know who that was.
What are you doing, Ross?
Okay. I don't know. I can see his name, but I can't see him, and I can't hear him. And he's got his, it looks like he's got his mic turned off.
Have you played any bridge yet, Barry?
No. So we're having a practice on Tuesday because the King's Birthday pairs and teams are coming up in Auckland and Hawke's Bay. So a lot of people heading over to Hawke's Bay. So we haven't played any bridge at all for about the last month. Just talking to somebody last night, and May is like a bit of a desert for open players
ready
to play tournaments.
A drought of tournaments, is that what
you're
saying?
There's a drought of tournaments in May. It's funny, some months are packed. Like I think maybe March is quite a busy month. And then when you get to May, there's not very much at all.
Okay.
There were a couple of open events. The Whangarei 5A pairs was on. So the winners of that were John Buckleton and Neil Stuckey. They won by about 7 or 8% from Cynthia Johnson and Lee Orton. The only other open event I could see was the Otaki Bridge Club. And this goes to show how open players are desperate to play. There were 19 tables at Otaki. I don't know how many they can get in there. That was won by John Seater and Barb Robinson from Fielding. And Deirdre Leach and Sarah Green from Palmerston and Harwer were second.
Right. John and Barbara play a lot online. Ifayakine. Coming up next, it's time for the Gin Club. That's juniors, intermediates and novices, and our man on the spot, Mr. Gin himself, it's Ross Longney.
Hey, Mr. Gin, I can see the shape you're in. Finger on your eyebrow.
G'day,
okay.
Ross.
G'day, Ross.
Hi, Barry.
I'm sorry, Ross. I've only got the bare 10 to 12 minutes for you, and we have to get Judge Julie on because I'm on a bus going for a drive at 1:30, and it is now 1 o'clock.
Okay, Ross was playing over the weekend, and I got a text from him at lunchtime from Franklin saying he needed some pickle juice.
Oh, did you get some?
No,
it scored something like 66 and a bit in the morning. Woo-hoo. And he was worried that he might need some pickle juice to hang on. And well, I'm afraid obviously there was no pickle juice available in Pukekohe that afternoon.
None available, sorry. Right. So we did the old fall off the cliff again. But that was all right. The tournament was won by Chris Wilson and Sam McNee from North Shore, who had a really good result once again. They're very, very steady in the restricted tournaments. I've got others here. Top intermediate was Estelle Art and Joseph Parker from Waitemata, and Estelle Art from Mount Albert. And top junior was local pair, Mary Tarbutt and Cam Gooder. We played them on the very last board of the day, so that was very nice. Gave them a good finish off to help their result. As Barry said, there wasn't many open tournaments around, only basically 3 over the weekend. But, oh, my gosh, there was tons of restricteds and intermediates. And, like, the Gord had a nice little idea. They had a intermediate tournament on the Saturday and then a junior tournament on the Sunday. That's quite a nice, you know, piggyback thing. And another nice idea, Waipakarau had an intermediate tournament on the Saturday And Pai Happy, which is only half an hour away, had one on the Sunday. So it was sort of like a mini Central Hawke's Bay Congress down there.
Say that again. Taihape is quite a way from Waipo. It's not
No,
half an
okay,
hour.
it's a little, Tai Happy's a bit further. If I was down that way, I would have done one on the Saturday, stayed somewhere overnight, and done the other one on the Sunday, Mariana. So
Oh,
for
I
me, that
see.
would have been nice.
That would have been.
I happen to be looking at the result of the Cambridge area pairs, which Ross has waxed lyrical about. The Cambridge area pairs. There was nobody from Waitomo there. There was 15 tables, and there were no Waitomo members there, Ross.
I can't be everywhere.
You can't be everywhere. I've been everywhere, man.
And the Gore results on the Saturday, the intermediate tournament, Graham Dale from Balclutha and Bear Corlett won that. The other intermediate tournament at Waipakurau was Henny French from Napier and Teresa Kingsford won that, which is nice because Henny French is going to be in a team with me over King's birthday weekend in Hastings in the Hawke's Bay
Nice.
Congress. So that was good to see them. She was doing well on the Gore, the Sunday tournament, the junior one. Emma Allwood and Natalie Keenan. Waipakarau, the junior one there, was run by Margie Hewitt and Sue Marshall. I think it's in. It looks like I've written down. Can't read my own writing. Tai Happy Intermediate Junior was run by Chris Smith and Andrew Kirkpatrick, and they won that with an average of 64.6%, which is
Ooh.
pretty damn good.
Very
Yep,
good.
indeed. Now, very interesting news to Pukki. They had a restricted down there. That was run by Rex Tulloch and Joyce Reed, both from Whakatane. They had an average of over 65%.
Nice.
But you know who came second?
No,
And
I
we
didn't
talked
look.
about him. It was Marcus Dudley. Marcus Dudley playing this time with Grace Wang, who's the third former
13-year-old
Rotorua.
from Rotorua, that's right.
So 1 week he plays with your youngster
Annie
from
Sue.
Hamilton. The next weekend he picks up Grace from Rotorua and carries them both to really, really good results. So good on
Nice.
Marcus. He's doing a lot to help the junior and the gin club members in that area for sure. I thought it was fantastic. Anyway, in Ōtaki they had a multi-grade. They had 19 tables there too, by the way, which was pretty cool. Barb Robinson and John Cedar from Fielding won that. And the top intermediate group was Robin Ridgway and Rob Hunter, both from Ōtaki. There was a story that I had for you for last week, but I ran out of time. The Auckland Interclub Teams, which is held on Friday night, not last Friday, but the Friday before, the top pair in the intermediate section were Fred Denley and Elaine Bentley from, of course, East Coast
East
Bays.
Coast Bays, here
Now,
it is, Barry.
I knew it was
The
coming.
remarkable
thing was about it, because Barry was talking about the gentleman from Hamilton who died. Fred Denley, and they were miles ahead of the second pair, individual pair. Fred Denley is a, I love this word, a nonagenarian.
A nonagenarian.
I mean, he's in his 90s, Mariana.
How about that? So Fred Denley, big ups to him and Elaine. They cleaned up everybody else in the intermediate section in the interclub.
Nice.
I better just mention the winner of the area pairs at Cambridge, seeing as I mentioned it. It was Joy Williams and Claire Coles from Matamata, Cambridge.
Nice.
And Bay Pairs, which is held in Tauranga, was won by the locals, Hugh and Di McAllister.
Do you recall that Hugh and Di McAllister also won 10 days before the Pitaru tournament? They've
Hey,
had a good
Ross,
little 10 days.
going to show you a picture. Look at that. That's where we're going this afternoon. The bridge that's held up
It's
with
pretty dangerous.
hands.
It's pretty dangerous to me. Okay. Hey, enjoy
Anyway.
that. Feedback, Water Boys concert last weekend was great. Really,
Was
really good.
it?
Last week was really, really wonderful concert. And this week, Barry, the music I want you to pick up on your iPhone and listen to is the music from The Band. All right? The Band,
The band.
the greatest group that ever lived. Do that. That's my tip for the week.
He's mentioning everything but Mariana.
What?
Big day tomorrow. Big day
What's
tomorrow
that?
because Ross and I are both playing in the same tournaments.
Oh.
He hasn't said anything about it. The head-to-head, it's bound to be mentioned next week.
Okay. So that's the Craig's Investment Partners multi-grade being held at Hamilton. 14 tables so far.
Okay, that's excellent. I've got the information you asked for, but going to ask you, Mariana, have you got that translation for me?
It's named after an area that we stayed in Ho Chi Minh.
Okay.
Some
All right, I've got
information.
some information for you. All
Go.
right, this is what you asked me to calculate. 20.6 kilometers per B point last week.
Twenty.
Yeah. So, okay, now tell me how
Got it?
many kilometers is it from where you live from Auckland to Hamilton, and how many B points will you have to get to keep up your average?
Oh, goodness. I'll let you know next week. I'll let you know
That
next week.
sounds great.
It depends how many B points I get. Hey, and I'm just having a nice chat with Susan Steadman the other day at Auckland on Friday. And she wanted me to pass on to you guys that she's really enjoying the format of the program as it's running. She'd been a long time listener, but she said it's really, really great. Good, nice comment from Susan.
Good to get some positive feedback. It's
Yeah, well, I'm
it's
trying.
good. Oh, look at
Club sandwich.
What's all that green stuff for, Ross?
I know. Yeah.
This is
What?
not MTV. This is radio.
For all the listeners, Mariana's just displayed her lunches has just been delivered to her in our hotel room. So Ross and I are sitting here thinking, geez, I wish it was dinner time, and she's sitting there eating lunch.
It's $125,000 dong, which is around about $8.
125,000 for lunch. That sounds expensive.
Okay, I have no more bridge news for you, and I can't actually top the image of your lunch, so I shall leave you.
Okay.
I have a tentative agreement from Paul Marston from Australia to be interviewed by Bridge Zone in the next week or so.
Oh, that'll be good. Because I can guarantee you there will be news next week following the Hamilton multi-grade pairs on Tuesday, which
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Enjoy your trip. Enjoy your bridge.
And just for you listeners, I'll be posting up a picture of me standing on what they call the Golden Bridge, the bridge that is held up in the Barnard Hills by a pair of hands. Awesome. Catch up with us next week. The Gin Man leads you out with the Gin Club motto.
Observa omne nemine timae. Respect all, fear none. Have a good week.
Light it and send it out. Send it out now.
Whaiakine. Coming up next, we have Gavin Wolpert, one of my faves, and he's talking today on combining chances and counting. I've also attached a link in the blurb for episode 413. Check it out.
Hi guys, today I wanted to make a video about a hand that came up in a lesson, and then I went further about this hand in the car ride home with my son, and I thought, wow, this is a really interesting hand. I just want to talk to you all about it. So we're going to go through in a different degrees. It's going to start at a very basic level. So this hand is from an Eddie Cantor set called Thinking Bridge, which is an amazing set of 500 or so hands where that are designed to have like little things come up that teach you little things, and the hand itself is incredibly instructive. So let's first talk about the hand. South opens 2-0. They have 21 points. Partner has 13 points. So they know 13 plus 20 is 33. So they know it's a slam hand. They just wanted to check first to see if their partner is a four card major with Stamen, three diamonds, no major. Okay, let's try six, no trump. And they lead the jack of clubs. And when they lead the jack of clubs, we stop and we count our tricks. Just going from right to left, we have four diamonds, three clubs is seven, the ace king of hearts is nine, and the ace king of spades is 11. So we need to find a 12th trick. The most obvious way to find a 12th trick is in spades. That's the thing that stands out more than any other suit, is we can try the spade finesse by leading from the north hand. They play low, and we can try the jack. And if the jack holds, that's going to be our 12th trick. So if East has the queen of spades, we're going to make 6-0. But that's not the exercise. The exercise here is on a concept called combining your chances. And that is where we've built our thought process. We see that we have the finesse, and then we have to ask ourselves, is there any way that we can improve on this line of play? Okay, we know we're going to make it if the spade and finesse is onside, but what else can we do to build a 12th trick? And on this hand, there's only so many places we can build a 12th trick. We can't build a fifth diamond. We can't build a fourth club. So the only other place we might be able to build a 12th trick is in hearts, and that's if the hearts break 3-3. We have a seven-card heart fit. If the opponent's six cards break 3-3, our last one will be good. But it is important that when we play the hearts, we don't just play ace of hearts, king of hearts, and a heart, because if they're 4-2, they're just going to win both their hearts, and that's going to mean we don't get to take the spade finesse. So the goal of this hand is to try to combine both of the two things. Check to see if the hearts are 3-3, and if they're not, then take the spade finesse. When I'm working on this hand with my students, and this is a great exercise because it is really important that you learn how to do this, how to find a possible line of play, and then combine these things together to give yourself a really significant chance of making it. Like, so this contract, it would be 50-50 if it was just on the spade finesse. But when you add in 3-3 hearts, it becomes a really good slam. It's way more likely to make things go down. And so we win the king of clubs, and the way that you would typically play it successfully is you lead a low heart and you just let them win it. And now we're set up. They play back the nine of spades and we win the ace. Then we check the hearts. And if they are 3-3, then we are home and we can just take that seven of hearts and throw away our jack of spades. And we didn't need the spade finesse. And so that's how you make this hand when you're dealing with the book hand. What happened was my wife was sick for this class and I decided to let my nine-year-old come with and be our fourth for this lesson. And we didn't talk about this at the time with my students. But when we were in the car ride home, I told him there's actually like another level to this hand that makes it really, really, really interesting. And that is what happens. I'm going to go back a trick. What happens if on the third round of hearts, East discards? So now we know that West has four hearts. Now, when we first discussed this, we said, okay, we're going to duck a heart and then we're going to take a spade finesse and that combines our chances. But there's another element here that is really, really important. It's a really good technique to know because what you want to do is you actually now want to cash all your winners, because what happens when you cash your winners is you find something very, very interesting is when on the second, that was the second club, and I'm going to play a third club. On the third club, West shows out of clubs. That's very, very interesting because when they show out in clubs, we now know East has six clubs and West has two of them. And we already know that West has four hearts and East has two of them. So we know most of the shape, and that if we just take our diamonds now, we are going to find out more. On the third round of diamonds, West shows out. So now we know West's entire shape. What is West's entire shape? They had four hearts. They had only two clubs. They had only two diamonds, but that meant they have five spades. So if they have five spades, then first of all, who's likely to have the queen of spades? It's West. But watch what happens. When we take our last diamond, West has to make a discard. And they had to keep the heart. By them keeping the heart, that means that they only have one spade left. And we know that East only started with two spades and they've already played one. So now they have only one spade left. Now, rather than taking the spade finesse, I'll show all the cards. You can see what had to happen. I'll go back one trick. What had to happen on this ace of diamonds, West had to make a discard. They were squeezed. And we can throw away the 10 of spades. So that was a pretty interesting way that an important tactic when you're trying to guess a hand and it's a very critical spot where you all your eggs are in one basket. You need to make it. You're in a slam, especially when you're playing teams at match points. Cashing the clubs before taking the spade finesse might actually be slightly dangerous because they might have club winners. By cashing out your winners, you often find out information about the hand, which makes it clear cut to play a hand a certain way. So one more thing I want to talk to you about. So let's say when we're cashing the diamond that instead, what if West has three diamonds? So we're going to go queen of diamonds, jack of diamonds. And now we see the diamond is West has three of them. So now we know West has two clubs, four hearts, three diamonds. So now they have four spades. Only four spades. It's not as clear cut as before. And when we play the ace of diamonds, they pitch a spade. So now here we are with two cards left. But now we don't know because East has two spades left and West has one. So we don't know who has the queen and we have to decide who to play for the queen. And then when I was talking to my son about this in the car, we talked about it. We came to this moment. I'm like, okay, so let's say West's the person has four hearts. They have two clubs. They have three diamonds. So you know they have four spades. What would you do in this end spot? Would you play a spade to the jack or would you play a spade to the king? And he thought about it and he's like, I don't know. Isn't it just a guess? And I said, no, it's not a guess. West started with four of them and East started with three of them. So it's not 50-50. West had four. East had three. Wes was more likely to have started with the Queen of Spades. So when an expert plays this hand, this is exactly what they would do. They would see the line of play that, okay, we want to combine the hearts with the spades finesse. We want to check to see if the hearts break and then take the spade finesse. When the hearts don't break on your left, then they start thinking, well, actually, let's just cash all of our winners and see what happens. And then when they finally come to this end position, they discover West's shape. They realize that the spades are 4-3. And then you just go with the math. Don't go with your feeling. It's not about who do you think has the Queen of Spades. Just always go with the math. That is the lesson of the hand. Hope you enjoyed watching this video. I would really appreciate it if you subscribe to my channel and give me the thumbs up button. Add comments talking about the hand. Anything that'll help spread the word about my videos. Share them with your friends. Tell them. And if you really like my content, I have a website, wolperbridge.com, where I teach classes for intermediate players, advanced players over stuff like this. I don't have a squeeze class like this, but I have lots of declare play classes, lots of interesting content. The lessons are about $10 or $15. Check them out. If you don't like them, we'll give you your money back. Thank you.
It's Judge Julie next. Hear ye, hear ye. The court's in session. The court's in session. Now here come the judge. Here come the judge. Good morning, Judge Julie. How are you going today?
Good. How are you?
Not bad, but
hot.
She's very hot.
43 degrees, no, we're Julie.
Not. How much?
43.
Oh, no, thank you.
Yeah, it's a bit like
it's
that.
It's pretty humid as well, I take it.
Yeah, it is. Okay, I do have a question. What about when your host, like Hamilton, is hosting a multi-grade pairs tomorrow, do you have to grade that differently if you're going to create a seating plan, or what happens there?
Okay, so when you're running a tournament, it depends on the club, the entries, the format, the prizes. It's a whole raft of stuff, all right? I remember years ago getting the list from Congress for the open pairs, seeding the field. They used to send it out to a variety of people, and they'd get them all to seed it, and then they'd look at it and fit it in with, so that it was well seeded. And I get a lot of people do the top part, but the bottom part of the field is also pretty important to do as well. So if you're seeding a field, how do you do it? Well, you can do it on rating points to some degree, but if you have people that aren't playing tournaments, their rating points are not going to be right for how good or bad they are.
Mm-hmm.
I remember playing a tournament in one part of the country where we had an Australian player who has represented Australia, and they had no rating points in New Zealand. And so when they seeded it by rating points, it was just stupid, right?
Yep.
Because that person didn't have rating points, but they were absolutely a very, very good player. Some of the things that people do if they're not comfortable about seeding the whole field is to reserve tables. So you might go to a tournament where certain people are told they have to sit at certain tables and toss a coin. And then in the second session, you get the top pair, north, south, and east, west, to start with each other, all right? Toss a coin and do it that way. And that actually, it works relatively well, because even if you seed brilliantly, sometimes people have off days and sometimes people have spectacular days. So your seeding never really works.
I can tell you, Mariana, if you stay with Patrick and Julie for one of the congresses in Auckland, you do get the fantastic cooking of Judge Julie, which, you know, I can vouch for, but also sometimes you get the desserts with the grandkids things like, you know, and thousands and goodness only knows what. But anyway, the third course, you actually get to seed the field for the team. So
I was wondering where you were heading.
We all get it. So but Patrick gets a few different versions of seeding.
Okay. You know, I would point out that Barry hasn't mentioned getting to wear the milk glasses.
The milk glass. Did that photo ever get published?
No, it didn't, but I can if you like. Anyway,
when you're running multi-level events, it depends which part of the country you come from, exactly what form these take. For example, if I direct in the top of the south and we run a multi-grade, then they will split the field into four equal parts in each group. There's a lot of variation about the way that clubs run multi-grade events.
Okay.
Irrespective, you would hope that the field is evenly divided. So when you play, when you sit down and you play and you are sitting, whatever direction you're sitting in, and it's a Mitchell movement, so everyone north south stays where they are and east west move around and everyone plays whomever, all right, you are competing with the people sitting the same way as you. And I say to my beginners and various other groups of people that when you wish your opponents good luck, you really, really want them to do well against the people they are going to play next. Because if they do well against the next North-South pair, they are giving you match points. All right. So when you say hello to your opponents, that's wonderful. When you wish them good luck when they leave, you truly mean it. Doesn't matter what you think of your opponents, you really want them to do well.
Very good.
And it's important that the field is relatively even. Otherwise, I have played in a tournament where all the club members of the particular club sat north south and all the visitors sat east west. And it was pretty skewed about the good and the bad.
Right,
So it
yeah.
made it very difficult to
And
do
the ugly.
well. Okay.
Okay, we got 14 tables tomorrow. 14 tables, two sessions of 14 tables. So you're going to have to seed this thing.
I mean, say that these players have to sit down and toss with their opponents, and if they're relatively placed through the field, or they're the strongest people, and you think everything else is relatively even, it works pretty well doing it that way. And the second session, you just have whoever's won one way, starting with whoever won the other way, and then toss a coin about who sits. Also works
Okay.
informally pretty well. I mean, these events are about sociability and learning.
All right, I'm sorry to cut you short, but I need to
About
go.
prize money.
She's catching a bus at 1:30.
Okay,
Thank you,
have
Julie.
fun.
Okay.
Thank
Okay.
you. See ya. Okay, well, that's about it for us this week, folks. Take care, and we'll see you at the tables.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.